in a world crying out for a top 10 show. John Rocha and Matt Nost are here to bring you the top 10. Take it away, boys. Welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of the Top 10 Show. I am John Rocha.
I am Matt Nost.
Ooh, and we are excited to be doing a Patreon topic from someone who we believe has not been selected before. Go ahead, sir.
I'm just going to back you up. True. Yep. I was just going to be your hype man over here on the side. Keep going.
Andrew Naley has suggested the topic for this week. It's the Top 10 Will Smith Movies in honor of the release of Aladdin. We haven't done a Will Smith list, on Relist or on the show yet. So this is a new one for us to kind of explore and get into. And, you know, if you want to donate to the Patreon and be in the contention for having a topic chosen on the show and your name getting shout out on the show, you could do so at www.patreon.com/the top 10 number 10 there and go and see the tiers we have there. Really appreciate everyone who's been donating and helping us and supporting the show, you know, all the things we've been able to do. So this is our way of giving back. And so Andrew's topic this week will be the subject of discussion. Matt,
will that you? It will.
Yeah.
And our thanks to everybody that supports us on Patreon, just as John said.
Yes.
And I want to say his last name might be Nally.
Oh, is it Nally? It's spelled
N-A-I-L-L or L-E-Y. Yeah. I think it's N-A-L-L-E-Y.
Oh, God.
I'm looking it up now.
God damn it, Alex Sakos.
It's not him. Maybe just a, who knows, a slight transfer somewhere, but I could almost promise you it is...
Yeah.
Nally, so like Valley, but with an N.
Nally. Okay, sorry, Andrew Nally. There we go. All right, well.
Look, you took the time to help us by sponsoring the show. We're going to take the time to get your damn name right.
Damn right. I appreciate that.
You know, we're businessmen.
Yes.
We're not that good at it, but we are businessmen.
I apologize for Alex Sakos. I'm going to take him out in the back and give him 30 lashes. I think that's fair.
I think you just hand him over to the head of security and let the head of security get his knuckles
down. Matthew Hassel! Handle it.
Yeah, that's how you take care of that situation. Mm-hmm. That way there's a separation between you and the actual criminal activity.
Yeah.
It's how you stay
fair.
A boss.
Oh, yeah, fair.
It's how you stay a boss.
That's a good point. Plausible deniability.
Well, it's like Big Paulie in Goodfellas. His brother, wouldn't get on the phone. You had to come and run. You had to tell him, and he runs and tells me the actual message.
There you go.
And a little go-between, so no one can actually pin it back to him.
That's right.
It's a smart move. So Will Smith, in honor of Aladdin, I believe, is why the topic was chosen.
Yep.
But I will read what Mr. Andrew Nally had to say up top. It says...
Oh, yeah, please.
Hello, Matt and John. First, I'd like to thank you for everything you do for the show and for us fans, and would love for you guys to come to Louisville or Lexington, Kentucky.
Oof.
I used to live in Lexington.
I'm down with Kentucky. Never been.
Never been?
I've driven through, never stopped.
They're both lovely places.
I'm sure.
I wonder where Andrew actually lives. Maybe Louisville, since he put Louisville first.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, my suggestion for this month's list is top 10 Will Smith movies in honor of Aladdin. Without further ado, here's his list, but we'll get to that at the end.
Nice. Okay.
So thank you very much, Mr. Nally. We like the choice. It is coming out for a movie I definitely will not see unless everybody says it's actually amazing, because there's just no way in hell that thing looks terrible.
Right.
Every trailer, I've seen it 3-4 times now. Every time I see it, it looks worse and worse and worse.
Well, I'm going to see it as part of... I was initially going to go to the premiere, but I ended up giving a ticket to someone else to go to the premiere from Collider. So I'm just going to go to a regular screening that night with a friend of mine and going to see if it's any damn good or not. But I hold no expectations. Absolutely zero.
That it looks...
Yeah.
And you know what someone else pointed out? I wish I had thought of this first. I guess I really hadn't thought about it, because the Lion King one coming out.
Oh, yeah.
If all the characters are CGI, how can you call it a live action? And you're like,
yeah, a lot of people are saying that. Is it animation or is it live?
It's animation. It's animation. Just because it's rendered to look like real life doesn't mean it's not fully animated. There's not a real live actor in any of that.
But what distinguishes animation here in this situation? If you have one animated character, is it animation or not?
That's the difference. That's the question of the moral question of what is pornography and what isn't.
Oh, and I just know it when I see it.
Exactly. The legal statute at the time was that. So that's what you're saying in regards to this. You're like, but this one has, okay, at what point is it live action? Does it need one live, you know, actor in it, or does it not?
Right.
That's a more relevant question to me. Mm-hmm. And without one real life individual in it, whether that be an animal or a person or anything, an insect, for Christ's sakes, anything that's alive, you cannot call that a live action.
Now, what if they had little balls on these animals that they were using, but still CGI'd their faces?
Did they actually do that?
No, they didn't. I'm just asking. Would that make it more live action?
Maybe.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Okay. So, because like it's Planet of the Apes.
I know. I was thinking of Andy Serkis. Animation,
right? It's motion capture.
Yeah, that's motion capture.
Right.
You're still putting a CGI construct over that.
Right.
But the bones are given to you and the outline of how the character moves, walks. They're taking off his face. So this is how it emotes.
He's like, actually physically moving.
He is. And he's talking like that. They're using his voice and his mannerisms.
Yeah.
And I think he like fucked his hips up or something from walking like that for so long.
No surprise.
Yeah. It's not.
He's an older man.
Well, and also we evolved from walking like that.
Exactly.
So our hips are not designed to do that
anymore. That's a great point. That's a great point.
So I can't imagine for how long he did it. So that's different as opposed to, look, if you hit a filter button on the render overall, like a magic filter button, you could turn this into a cartoon.
Right. Yeah.
It's not just like that, but at the same time, it's just a matter of realigning ones and zeros.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
No.
Okay. All right.
And that's a little side shoot about live action.
There you go.
Versus fully CGI movies.
Put that on the poster. Matt knows the top 10.
Perfect. That's a long poster.
This is not a live action movie.
Fuck no. I'm not. I hope it's good. Yeah. I hope you make a lot of money.
God, I hope it is too.
But calling it a live action, you're so full of shit.
Yeah.
It's not even funny. And I saw early pictures from Star Wars Land. Looks pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Looks pretty interesting.
Apparently, my friend got us tickets for June, sometime in June. Had no idea she was doing this for us, and then surprised us with it. So I think we're going at June 9th or something, like for like 4 hours.
That's going to...
Because they're only opening it up for 4 hours a day until the official opening. So this is like that soft open type of thing where they're figuring out how...
Oh, now you know soft open.
Well,
sure. A month ago. It's what soft open. Never heard of it. It's crazy talk.
It's not true.
You just incorporate into it. That's on a show. That is
a matter
of public record.
Open?
Yes, you said you did not know. You'd never heard the term.
No.
Swear to God.
I've never said that.
Swear to God, because I was like, oh, restaurants do it. You soft open with like a smaller menu and you make sure everything kind of comes out like that.
Maybe I didn't know it was a soft opening. Maybe somebody find that and let me know for sure. Because I can't, Harry Potter went through a soft opening.
I know.
That's there's a soft opening like, Ocean's 13. It's a whole joke.
You had to have heard the term.
I know the term.
Well,
I don't know what happened then. Maybe it was hitting the head that day. Anyway, all right. So we're going to break these things down. We're going to talk about them. And at the end, we're going to give the shout outs to our patron or to our fans who support the show at $5 and up. Right?
Yes. We'd like to thank you very much. You can be part of this list and join other things that we're putting up all kinds of extra content on the website now on patreon.com/thetop10. You can go there, subscribe at $5, $10, $20, $50, or a dollar. Yeah. And for a dollar, you get our eternal gratitude.
That's right.
At $5 and up, we are happy to say your name once a month on the show as a thank you to you. And then at $10 and up, you get all kinds of different content and older shows. And $20, you get to be part of the relist.
Hey-o.
Have some fun up there. And then Boss Hog, your relist, you're picking topics. You're living the high life.
Right.
As we like to call it.
I like it, the high life. All right, Matt, you want to tell me how the show works?
Once we set a topic, or Mr. Andrew Nally does, we went our personal ways and created individual top 10 list show back up here. I do my bottom three, he does his bottom three. I do my next two, he does his next two. Then we trade one apiece. Once we have revealed our personal top 10 list, we create the shows between the two of us.
Boom.
Thank you again to Mr. Nally.
Yes.
And a quick thank you to everybody that's been helping us with the show. Christos Alexakos, Matthew Hasso, Kristen Smith, Clay Williams, and Joe Obara. You guys have been an amazing help to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we can't thank you enough. And now on to the show. So number 10, maybe it's on your list, maybe it's not.
Yeah.
Hancock.
Not on my list. One of the last cuts on my list. Yeah.
Okay. I like it because the idea that it actually got made, I think they could do a better job with it now because now everybody is so used to superhero movies that doing one where the guy's an alcoholic and he doesn't like his life because nobody else is like him and he feels like he's alone and can't relate to anybody around him and he's just living a shitty life. He used to do all these amazing things. It's just like, what difference did it make? You know, I'm going to die alone type of thing. He was depressed. So to see that, it was, I found it interesting. I understood why it wasn't successful at the time. Because I think overall it wasn't a satisfying enough movie to have mass appeal. But I still found it really interesting. And I wish it came out in the past 2-3 years. Because now we've seen superheroes like, they can joke. They can have fun. And they can,
That's a fair point.
So you can start to mine those depths of humor for darker jokes. It's also why that, evil Superman movie.
Yeah, Brightburn.
Yeah. It's coming out. It's like, oh, now we're so used to superhero movies.
Yeah, we'll start pushing the genre, exploring different ways. Yeah.
Now you can do, what if? Because we're all so used to Superman. Well, what if Superman was evil?
Right.
Boom, let's make it. Shoot it. Get digital cameras, guys. Let's go.
Get on it.
Yeah. Cast a bunch of unknowns, like a couple great actors for small roles so we don't have to pay them that much to be here all that often. Pivotal roles. Put it on some young kid's shoulders. Make this on the cheap. Hopefully it takes off when we clear 80% of costs.
Yep, there you go. Get James Gunn to produce it, put that name on it, boom.
Exactly. Slap that name on it, bam, start making money. that's another guy from the Patreon show that's coming out, the Topics show.
Oh, yeah.
That someone asked about, you can throw out random topics on Patreon now for another show that we do called Topics Show. It's a great name. And
that's what it's called for now.
Yeah, for now. We don't know.
It's a working title.
Exactly. Like a lot of things, it's organic.
Yes, very much so. We'll find it as we feel it.
It'll get to where it needs to get to in due time.
Yep.
That'll do, Pig. That'll do. But he's another director for that list. I can see him taking move from this franchise and go to one of these two others. Maybe you could have a more comedic take on these worlds and still do the heart and the serious stories.
That's a great point.
But yeah, so Hancock, it's enjoyable. If you've never seen it, I found it entertaining. But once you see it, you're like, I understand why this thing didn't do boo-hoo box office.
Right.
So there you go. That's my number 10.
All right.
I feel like I'm defending him up on the trial.
I know. I haven't said a word.
What's your number 9 is iRobot.
That's my 9.
Okay.
Yeah. Good one. Good movie.
It's solid.
Yeah. I think it's a good, solid movie. I like how Will Smith plays it. I like Alan Tudyk doing the voice of the robot.
Yeah.
And I like what he has to explore, this idea. And especially when you're having a black man explore what it's like to be half a human, half a robot, kind of a cyborg situation, dealing what it's like to, some black people who come from mixed racial families, like, where do I belong? Where do I fit? That kind of thing. I loved that aspect to it socially. And then the conspiracy that's going on behind the scenes. Will Smith's always great in these. He was in that pocket of years where he was doing those kinds of movies. So I liked him in this one.
It just felt like Minority Report light.
Yes, absolutely.
It was good, but it started to become like the Will Smith formula of an easily digestible tentpole summer movie.
Right.
And Will Smith, which weekend are you taking? Everybody else will schedule around it. Because after 4th of July, he was the king of 4th of July for a long time.
He was.
He opened a movie every summer. It's why he got to do things like Wild Wild West.
Which almost made my list.
Almost made mine, too. I have a soft spot for that one.
Me, too, man. I can't explain it.
Me, either. On some level, it's just like, you know what? I liked Hancock better as a choice because it was so interesting. But Wild Wild West, like, I thoroughly enjoy Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah.
Thoroughly.
He is so good as the villain.
So ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's so, because this whole thing is ridiculous and preposterous. And if you look at it as like a really slickly shot for TV version of or TV movie with amazing actors.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And it's the stupid contraption where you're wearing a collar and these flying blades and like during the Civil War, no less. Or right after the Civil War, right after the Civil War. So there's one Southerner that's really into steampunk.
Yeah.
Still sitting on money somehow. He still has wealth. Your wealth evaporated with everybody else's, unless you're a shipping magnate. I can't imagine, like, you run the ports.
Yeah.
Because all colonial life's economy got destroyed.
Yeah.
Just such a stupid and preposterous.
I mean, the lines that Branagh delivers are incredible. Well, Mr. West, we seem to find ourselves in quite a situation here. And the veiled racism in the jokes.
Yeah.
He was like, holy shit. And Will's going along with it because Will gets it. This is the kind of humor the villain should have. It's pretty ugly, terrible humor.
Yeah.
And that's why you want him to die. And Will gives as good as he gets.
Well, someone that until very recently had to, you know, publicly said that you were lesser. And
yeah.
now has to, through gritted teeth.
Yeah.
Just say, that's not the case anymore, but we clearly know where the score is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Clearly. Nothing has changed. They just moved the fucking goal line.
Yeah.
That's all they did.
Yeah.
Surprisingly good. You know what?
You're
fuck
hot.
That.
You put
it's
it
my
ten?
Number 10.
All right.
Fuck that. Wild Wild West.
Your heart is as dark as you are, Mr.
I never,
West.
I mean, I think it gets a bad rap because it came out when it did and everybody's
yeah.
expecting this normal Will mm-hmm. Smith fare, and this tried to go more comedy with Kevin Kline
yeah.
and Salma Hayek with all the contraptions and the rope that elongates and does it, and et cetera, et cetera, yep. et cetera, that it wasn't what people were looking for.
Yeah.
I still think it's a lot of fun.
I respect that completely. All right, what's your number 8?
8 might be a punt.
Okay.
Independence Day.
Yeah, it's a punt.
Okay.
My number 10 might be a punt for you, Ali.
That's a punt.
Yeah. 9, iRobot. 8 is Men in Black 3.
That's also a punt.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
7.
Yes.
Is, are we going to be saying the words punt again? The Pursuit of Happiness.
Not on my list.
Okay.
It's not, I get the speeches are incredible, but I find the film to be real schmaltzy. And so it's just not for me.
It is.
But I respect people who do like it.
Well, I put it that high because it's one of the times that he's actually been successful going outside of the Will Smith formula.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing the action movie, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a good dramatic actor, man.
He is. And unfortunately, some of the swings he's taken have just, you know, yielded less than perfect results.
Right.
Which is going to happen.
Yeah.
There's a few that, you know, some, like, my wife was, oh, are you going to put that one on? I was like, I never saw it because it just seemed too much.
Yeah.
Too schmaltzy. The
7 pounds was
yes.
that.
That's what she was like. Really, that movie moved me. And I was like, I saw the trailer and then I saw the people's reaction, like my friends.
Yeah.
And I know what that movie is and just, no thanks.
Mm-hmm. I made it through half an hour of that movie one night and I was like, nope.
Yeah. Occasionally I can't, but like Pay It Forward, I don't get it.
Oh, yeah. That, for the time, I understood it, but yeah.
Even at the time, I was like, this is way, what is going on with this? It's way too earnest, way too, I don't like it.
I don't like it.
I don't. Shit.
I don't like what it's making me feel.
Well, sometimes I don't like the way it's getting those emotions from me.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair.
I have
point.
No problem going to those depths, but I don't want to see it done like this.
Yeah.
And
don't you do me like this.
That was Pay It Forward. But The Pursuit of Happiness, I get. You know, I watched it not too long ago within the past year or something for a show we did. I can't remember, maybe it was the Movie Dads or something, and it was
yeah.
oh, he's a great movie dad in that one. So I watched it for that. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But I liked it. And I also put it higher than... I've seen iRobot more, and I will. I've seen Wild Wild West more, and I will. But, you know, he was asked to do more in this one.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And you don't have all the pomp and circumstance of the world blowing up behind you to carry a movie.
Yeah.
So you have to be at least a decent actor to make that engaging.
You got
to
bring the fireworks yourself.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah, without making it look like, you know, you're Jim Carrey when we used to ask Jim Carrey, hey, can you dial it up to cocaine? You know what I mean? And that's what you expected, and that's what they signed him for. Now, I'm not saying he was on cocaine, but the level of energy and enthusiasm was, we need you to dial, not to 11, we need to dial this to cocaine. And he just goes straight cocaine. I mean, Ace Ventura, the first one, there's a t-shirt. Why don't you just go ahead and put that dial on cocaine?
I love it. Okay. All right, what's
my number 6 is I Am Legend.
All right, it's a slight punt.
Okay.
My number 7 is Hitch.
Not on my list.
Really? Fuck, I love this movie.
To me, it was so by the numbers.
Wow, what?
So by the numbers. Well, just like,
oh, wow.
Of course, he's going to end up here, and then this is going to happen, and bada bing, bada boom, we get to the ending that...
Okay, I respect that, but I also think it's like you just said about Pursuit of Happiness, it's a color Will rarely plays, this idea of being the person
yeah.
helping other people and having to confront... It's almost like the Tom Cruise role, that idea of being so cocky that you have to confront being cocky and what that means, and finding out that it's really based from a place of insecurity about yourself.
Yeah.
And then having to help Kevin James in the situation. No, of course,
people can complain, oh, right, here's another fat guy getting with a hot girl. I get that, of course. But, like, overall, I do enjoy that Will has a nice color to this and gets called out. And it's probably one of the rare performances that I like from Eva Mendes. I'm not a big fan of her as an actress.
Okay.
So I enjoy her in this movie. She's actually very self-composed, very on point. And I like how she gives as good as she gets from Will and gets the better of him for the most part. And so in that way, it's enjoyable. And you see the pursuit of what it's like to confront your own shit when you're trying to date somebody or find somebody to be in love with. You know, I like that for that, for what it is.
Yeah, but it was like a sitcom version of Boomerang, where he's a dude that has all the confidence in the world, but like gets that. Jokes from like kicking her in the face and all these
zany stuff. Yeah,
it's like Hillary Swank falling down off the stage, the 6-inch stage in P.S. I Love You in the trailer. Never seen the movie.
No,
just like if that's how you're getting laughs, I don't need to fucking see it.
Yeah.
Because that's not funny.
That's terrible, yeah.
If that is the punchline. Now, if you are next level, fucking Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin, good at physical comedy like that, great.
Now we're talking.
But if you're a serious actress that's now I'm zany and funny and you just fall down,
yeah.
Or an actor or anybody else, whatever the equivalent of that is,
yeah.
It kills me every time. So that's what this movie was to me. It was just like,
okay,
A plus B equals this. Done.
Okay, fair. That was my number 7. So then my number 6 is Enemy of the State.
That's a punt.
Ooh. Okay.
All right. Ooh. So I'm thinking the ID4, which I will never call it that again for the rest of my life. It's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Okay. I see what we're playing with here. I see what we're playing with.
All right.
You know,
what's your number 5?
You want to put quality lower on your list.
Oh,
it just means your list has
less
quality.
Oh, we're starting there. Okay.
No, it's not starting there. I think that is just an analytical, you know, viewpoint. I got blinders on. That's, I'm seeing this clear as day.
Yeah, yeah, fair. Okay.
So, you know, I call it like I see it.
You do. You do call it like you see it. That's
exactly.
Sure.
And the beauty is I am never wrong when I am expressing my opinion.
Boom!
Number 5, then, for me is Concussion.
That is my number 5. This is a goddamn good movie, man.
I watched it for this show.
Oh, did you really?
Because you brought it up on Friday's Sports Time. Yep. Like, and it's like that movie, and I'm like, you know what? I should probably watch that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this coming up, and I was like, perfect timing. I wanted to see it. His accent does not bother me.
Yep, it's a good accent.
As far as I know, that's pretty legit.
Yep.
As far as I know.
I don't know a lot of Nigerian people, so that sounds authentic to me.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
Neither do I. And I'm sure you track down the dude's press conferences that he held on the various stairs and whatnot, and that's where Will studied it, met him and talked to him, and picked it up from that, because I'm sure this guy was excited to, you know, a movie's going to be made, but more people are going to find out about this now.
Right.
We need to keep spreading the word. Like, this doesn't stop.
And Will Smith is going to play me. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. That's not a bad choice.
That's right.
It's not a bad choice.
I'd be cool with Will Smith playing me in my
life. Fuck yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, what'd you think so?
I mean, it's not. They didn't go, you know, obviously because they couldn't. The Insider, where you feel the peril.
Right.
And there's a bullet in the mailbox. And, like, that's the other side of it. Mm-hmm. That's Big Tobacco. But they don't need to have the PR that the NFL does.
Yeah.
You know, the NFL cares. And the NFL does this. And we've got a Players Association. We look out for our guys. We do this. We're good people. Keep giving us the billions of dollars you give us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we go away because we literally live at your fancy. Whereas Big Tobacco is like, we got you hooked, motherfucker.
Yeah, you're
good
in,
luck.
In for a penny, in for a pound. So.
Yeah, not even. It's in for, you know, in for a penny, in for a lung.
Yeah.
unless you stop early enough.
Fair enough.
If you want to come out with our own anti-smoking campaign, boom, there's bumper sticker number 1.
Put it together.
And to see, it's part of the reason why it's harder and harder for me to enjoy football. And this is another, like, watching this just reinforces.
Yeah.
I like the idea of if everybody is open and honest, this is what this is going to do to your body, your brain. At the end of the movie, they say 28% of all former NFL players have, in essence, CTE, early onset Alzheimer's. They display a number of these symptoms. If it's one, if it's all of them, who knows?
Yeah.
So 20, you have a little over 1-4 chance playing this game. And that makes it really difficult if they didn't know that before.
Yeah.
Because I used to celebrate the bloodlust like nobody's business.
Of course, everybody did.
I know.
Because guys would just get back up.
Yeah.
And like keep playing, or guys would like be out for a game or two. But it was never like it is now. But also because I would argue that bodies were different back then. Bodies now are conditioned to be optimal strength,
with
optimal speed.
Nutrition.
Yes.
And breaking down like various workout regimens and whatnot to help you on the things like, you know, Steph Curry 15 years ago would have only had a 5-year career because his ankles kept failing.
Yep.
But they had so much medical technology that they studied him and figured out where in his process of running he was displacing and putting too much weight on his ankles. And they taught him a new way to run, and he hasn't had an ankle issue since. That's what turned the tide of that fucking team.
Yep.
Is that dude being able to be out there at all times. And they just more than likely like realigned his hips or something like that. Mm-hmm. Just spreading too wide. And it was just putting too much fucking pressure. But if this was 1985, you have a 4-year career. I hope you enjoyed it. And you're a footnote.
Yeah.
Because you were the son of a former player.
Right.
Type of thing. And you're one of a list of guys. Oh, here are all the sons of former players. Whether or not you know any of those guys. And so we have like all this to study all these people, and now you, the flip side of it, and you see all the damage that it's taking and the shortening of lifespans and the dementia. These people, like, fucking, I can't get these voices out of my head type of stuff. I hope all of that was as real as they could make it.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want to fictionalize that. The conversations, the late night coming into the coroner's office and looking through slides to like whatever, that could be all fictionalized. I don't care.
Well, if you watch that, there's a Frontline documentary that's kind of a companion piece to this film that is about CTE, and it explores what this other female doctor found as well. Mm-hmm. And you see the stuff that she is looking at, how she's looking, is exactly what you see in the film. The style with which they see and look at these, like it looks like tree, like they're taking slices out of a tree to do the timeline of how long a tree's been around. That's what it feels like they're doing when you look at these little frames from the brain that they've taken the pictures of. And you're just like, holy shit, they've sliced the brain into so these thinly. Slices so thinly. And you see all the things they're talking about. So when you're seeing it, when I saw it in the movie, I was like, this is exactly what I just saw in the documentary. This is mind-blowing to me that it's all there. That's why I thought the denying of the science. And you see how Goodell and how his people like stonewalled this shit because all they fucking cared about was the money they were going to lose. That's all they cared about.
True, but it's also
the loss of the game.
I agree. They are the villain. It's not even close.
Right.
But at the same time, what do you do when you're presented with this information in 1998, 1999?
Right, exactly. Well, the first reaction was fear.
Whenever the first study was commissioned, and then him and Alec Baldwin talk about the people that were on it, it was like two trainers and some team doctors and all this stuff. And it's like, well, the guy tapes ankles and he's looking through the scientific data type of thing.
Baldwin's good in this too.
He is good in this.
But so is Albert Brooks. Holy shit.
Albert Brooks is great.
Right?
Fuck. It sucks. Paul Reiser just has like two lines.
Yeah.
It's a great actor.
It's true.
Just has two lines in essence.
Yeah. Well, sorry, I cut you off, Matt. What were we saying?
No, just I understand from the NFL's because like this is an A-bomb that just went off in your lap. Mm. You knew that there might be something wrong, but to say that your sport is actually doing this and you fucking know it, how do you, as a CEO of this massive corporation, go, we have to come out the next day?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Try and figure out a way to release that information, and there's no good way to release that because it could destroy the entire foundation. So they grappled with that for however long.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. The lawyers get involved, and then you start to be like, oh, we're going to get lawsuits because we should have done, or we should have done this, we should have done that. Well, it's like, well, yeah, take the hits because you didn't. You didn't do these things.
True.
So, like, figure out what it is you did, take the lumps, and then move forward. And I'm sure players and players' families will negotiate with you in a way that is in good faith. Like, if we give you too much, the entire thing is over. And so you're like, okay, if the entire thing is over, we can't pay you. So
yeah, and it's also, it destroys the legacy of what you're trying to, like, there's a lot of Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to play everything so this keeps going, you know, for the greatness of the Shield type of shit.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Where these guys carry it with it, and the whole, we're warriors.
Yeah.
I mean, that is genuinely more than likely the mindset you have to tell yourself as you are going into these just massive collisions week in and week out.
Yeah.
The just sheer amount of damage. I think the only way it could have happened is like if as soon as they found out, if they turned around and told everybody and they knew by doing it immediately, they're not held liable because they didn't have information beforehand.
There you go.
So if we agreed as a society, you can't sue them because they didn't know, they're discovering this and they're basically giving you discovery of evidence.
Right.
Here's now, we're just playing with a different deck.
Yeah.
We can keep going. We can run out next year. What do you want to do?
Right.
But that's asking a lot.
Yeah.
of these huge, huge corporations.
With all this red tape and board, all that kind of stuff. And it's a that's the thing that's ironic, is the NFL is a nonprofit organization. So what are the rules with a nonprofit organization, like charges that are nonprofit? It's all a bunch of bullshit that needs to be changed as well. They are for profit. They literally live for profit. So it's ridiculous that they're considered a nonprofit organization.
Yeah, but you get taxes from the teams, but then the teams are subsidized by either the state or local economy.
Exactly.
And, but, you know, yes, look.
It's a racket.
If you scale to those heights, then you live on public money and just rake in the free enterprise that comes your way therefore, you know, from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a great system we've set up.
But I like the movie itself, how it goes along and the threats he comes under. And I like the relationship he has with, is it Gugu Mbatha-Raw, the actress there? She's fantastic in it too. And so we get not just his journey in this pursuit, but also his journey, his personal journey in his life that is coinciding with this situation, I thought. And yeah, I'm sure they altered some things for dramatic effect, but overall, I think the film was effective as hell, and I wish more people talked about it, because it's a fantastic film.
It is. Yeah. But maybe it's because it's a subject that we both gravitate towards, because it deals with a sport we both watch, and it's an issue that we're grappling with, and now, like, you know, I don't want to turn it into two-hand touch, because it'll destroy the game.
There's no point to it at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's just like then everybody needs to be operating with all information. Right. So we're all on the same page.
Yeah, exactly. Us as fans and them as players and coaches and organizations.
And we're setting aside money, in essence, for trust funds for the families after die early.
Hell yes.
Like, but it's also that's a lot of culpability for us just to watch dudes run into each other once a week.
Hey, man, I think people would do it. I think people would absolutely do it, man.
So do I. But then it's almost like you're preying upon the poorest.
You're complicit in the situation?
You are, 100%. If you have, you're operating on it and you still are giving them the views and the subscriptions and season tickets, then you are utterly complicit in this.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. All right, what's your number four?
Four is Men in Black 3.
Okay. So that's a punt from my 8. Oh, good. Damn, that's that high on your list.
Yeah, I think for rewatchability and enjoyability.
Yeah, it's a good, good movie.
It is. I didn't think they could get back to it, because 2 was... 2 had its moments. Mm-hmm. A lot of people didn't like... Obviously didn't like it as much, but I actually thought Johnny Knoxville did a great job.
I thought he was good, too.
A lot of the jokes, they were stupid enough where kids would get it, and at the same time, well-delivered enough to where it put a smile on my face or... help move along. I thought Laura Flynn Boyle was a fine villain.
Yeah, yeah. It's certainly a watchable movie. It's not unwatchable. Like, there are many sequels that are unwatchable. This is, Men in Black 2 is watchable. The personality.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, the personality, the characters, all of that is fun. Yeah, exactly. But 3.
But 3, you know, they go back. So, Tommy Lee Jones, Agent J, K.
K. K. J. J.
J.
Isn't he? Because he's K.
Yeah, he comes after.
Right, right.
But I could swear I remember Will Smith saying...
Maybe he is K. Yeah, he is
Agent
K.
Agent J, like, I'm Agent J, like, you know, smooth.
Right.
I'm putting the shades on as I say it type of thing. So the third one, whatever. He is now retired. And he's working at a post office. Mm-hmm. And Will Smith has to go and convince him to come back, because only he knows the answer to this question. Like, oh, how do we stop this new cataclysmic event? Which they do again. They got a time travel. I just love that the setup of the trailer was Jermaine Clement was going to be the villain.
Yeah.
Just like, all right, he's creepy. This is weird. I like it.
Yeah.
It reminds me, you know, they do that a nice fair amount. Mm-hmm. Aliens, might as well make him creepy. And he's just fucking adios.
Yeah.
It's like, this is great. I'm thoroughly on board.
It is about something way more deeper. And
it
we
is.
Go back in time. And
I have to put up a shield around what Tony Stark wanted to do. Put a shield around the world.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Josh Brolin, ironically, Josh Brolin, Thanos, is Tommy Lee Jones' younger man.
Yep.
And they, him and Will Smith try to solve this case way back in the 50s or 60s. And how it all progresses through that. And they don't shy away from anything that they have to confront at that time as a multiracial cop thing. And then also Michael Stuhlbarg is incredible.
Yeah,
he's that alien who can
do the time. Yeah, he goes back to see the Mets.
Yeah.
And I liked, was it Bill Hader's Andy Warhol?
Yes.
When he's like, dude, you guys got to get me out. I'm painting soup cans type of thing. Just because that's what I feel like when I go back and see Warhol be like, this is so of the time.
I've never gotten anything he's done, dude. Well,
it's
never.
It's clearly one of those, it is because it is things.
Yeah.
Everybody just randomly agreed that this dude was it.
Yeah.
Okay. Out of New York, and New York was a hub of culture in this country and the world. And now this guy is perpetually famous because he was in... right personality at the right time.
Yeah, basically it.
And huge. I'm not denying his talent because I still know his name.
Yeah, true. Good point. He's a legend.
Yeah, I'm not at all. It's just like, man, I just don't get it. It's not for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind like the idea of painting a soup can and calling that art as a juxtaposition to all like the Renaissance classics and everything that came before it. Like, that's an interesting discussion. But if everything you do is that, then the discussion has been dragging on now for as long as you've been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move the discourse along.
Yeah, agreed.
That's where it loses me, in essence. But I don't know. I'm not an art historian. I've only seen what I've seen in fucking museums. That is it.
That's it.
I didn't study the shit. I don't know any of it. I have watched a few interesting documentaries, read some books.
Sure.
That's about it. But Men in Black 3, I like the time travel, putting it back with Josh Brolin, who you can kind of go, yeah, I can see him being Tommy Lee.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's a little bit square of the jaw and stuff like that. But at the same time, just like, yeah, but the eyes look roughly close enough.
And the speech pattern and the accent was almost spot on at Tommy Lee. It was incredible.
And, you know, manipulating his mouth into like a constant, not, you know, furrow or anything like that. Yeah. But there was a grimace, a subtle grimace at all times, very much like Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
Now, which award show was that? Golden Globes, where he didn't appreciate Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig doing that?
He just was like.
Canberra looked at him and he's just like, what is this childish shit? It's like, well, it's kind of poking fun at the pomp and circumstance of this.
Yeah.
Which, as someone pointed out to me once, you know, car dealerships have award shows too. This is just an industry award show that everybody happens to watch, but it's the same fucking thing.
Good point.
And you're like, yeah, it is.
That's a good
This is
point.
Just a business award show at the end of the year. That's all it is.
Yep.
But we all go, ooh, ah. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, that dude sold the most used cars this year. Congratulations. It's like, I can't believe I never thought of it like that. It's true.
Salesman of the year.
Yeah. Fucking used car lot, man.
The other guy was way better.
dude, it's about numbers.
Yeah, that's right.
It's about numbers. I knew a guy that bounced around from like job to job to job, 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 and then eventually became a used car salesman.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's perfect. You are going to crush it as a used car salesman. And he did.
Wow.
He just had and this guy was not a friend.
Right.
Just somebody I knew. By proxy of, he knew two people that I knew.
Right.
So I came into contact every once and again with him.
Yeah.
And he's the type of guy where within the first 5 minutes, he would kind of assess whatever you liked, and he would just mold his personality to what you liked.
Right.
And you could see him shift it in conversation between people. He knew this person liked these types of jokes. He did these types of jokes.
Right,
he knew this person. He was utterly malleable.
How funny.
Yeah. And then you're like, well, that's perfect for a used car salesman. He's got to be everybody's buddy because he's trying to con him.
Yep.
Like, you are going to be really good at that. And he is.
All right. That was your number four?
That was my four.
So my four is I Am Legend.
Okay.
Yeah.
A slight point, sure.
Yeah. I love this movie. I think Will Smith is incredible in this film.
Okay.
People argue about the adaptation, the Omega Man, all that kind of stuff. I get it. But I like the story. They made some changes, but I like what he goes through. Like, this is, we talk about Will taking on some of these characters that are not necessarily the mainstream type thing. This is a dark fucking movie for Will Smith to be a part of. There's no real happy ending in this thing. There's an alternate ending, which I think is interesting too. But the journey he goes on, the guilt and all of this and the price he has to pay for this and his desire to, you know, kind of cure this thing that he brought on. It's such an interesting wrinkle to this character, to the story. And I think he plays the emotional levels really well so that when he does what he does at the end, you actually feel for it. And so I enjoy that about the film.
I think after having seen the alternate ending and knew, you know, what it was based upon.
Yeah.
It just seems unfulfilling. It's a little too happy ending-ish.
Okay.
Because, I mean, on some level, it is true. If they have an understanding, is still a sense of self, then they can realize that this dude is just slaying them.
Yeah.
Just maniacally capturing them, taking them to his basement, running experiments, and then they die.
Yeah.
That's an evil fuck. Now, granted, he is doing it to save them, to revert them back to what they formerly were.
Yeah.
But they don't understand that.
Right.
And once you realize that, like, oh, that's interesting that he still has the mental cognition, the idea, sense of self, self-awareness. And then it's just kind of cast aside.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, it's an interesting discussion. So I thought it could have been so much better.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it. I like, especially early on when you don't know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
And then lights, you know, shutters have to come down at night and stuff like that. And you never want to get trapped out there. And once they set the first trap for him and he gets caught.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
And they just, in the way it did, ultimately left me unfulfilled.
Okay.
So that's why it's lower. I still enjoy it.
Right.
But it's kind of like you with Goodfellas. You like it to a point.
Yeah, yeah.
I like I Am Legend to a point.
Okay.
And then it falls off a cliff for
that's
me.
That's fair. All right. What's your number three?
Three is Ali.
Wow.
Because
as
I think,
a movie? Okay.
Well, because I think the task is impossible.
Okay.
Is utterly
impossible.
I can
impossible. See that logic. Okay. I can see that logic.
And the fact that they still made a somewhat entertaining movie, and I wasn't always taken out of the reality that you're not Muhammad Ali.
Mm-hmm.
There were moments where I'm just like, you're doing a really good job of acting right now.
Absolutely.
Because to bring Muhammad Ali, we felt his charisma through clips
mm-hmm.
after he was dead, really. Because mm-hmm. by the time I was old enough to understand and like see him, he was almost Atlanta Olympics.
Yeah, Ali, yeah, yeah.
Where he was just this shell of an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So I only have, like, up until that point, seen a couple interviews with Howard Cosell
right.
and seen some boxing stuff here and there and watched his fights, but the personality you understood.
Right.
And the charisma that exudes from that man, it's one of those of I understand why a generation fell in love with him.
Yeah.
Warhol, I don't get. This, just like, I would love to have met him too.
Oh, sure.
Hung out with him.
Right.
Even if I disagreed with him, he just seems, he's got a hell of a personality.
Yeah. That's what I think. Oh, go, sorry. That's why I think When We Were Kings is such a fantastic documentary.
It is.
You're catching Ali just before all the Parkinson's kicks in and everything that happens afterwards when he takes those brutal losses that eventually kind of induce the Parkinson's in him, which I know people say it's not 100% true. Whatever. It feels pretty true to me. And you see everything. So you see what he could have been. You see this like sarcastic, incredible man who pulled off this phenomenal physical feat against a giant of a beast like George Foreman. And you're like, and when George Plimpton says, and then he's out there the next day, like running and talking to the people and, you know, talking about politics and stuff. He's like, this man could be president. And this certainly was in play.
I think within subsets of culture, but the fact that he wouldn't go to Vietnam, you don't have a chance until 30 years from now type of thing.
Maybe. Because Clinton obviously got a deferment and so did Trump.
Yes,
so,
but they weren't openly defiant.
Right, but people
and the poster
came around
child.
On it. And so,
yeah, but
maybe,
I think that was
maybe.
Slower, and there's still the older generation that was like, you know what, I fought in World War II, I fought in World War, you know, I fought
right.
in Korea. I did my part for this country, and for you to be out of here like, fuck you, I'm not going.
Right, right.
I don't have a problem with the Vietnamese. So why do I have to fly over there and kill them? Just like, well, that's not the point, you know? Like, you have to think of it from their perspective, too, and as they slowly... is that generation recedes into the history of time.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
lose those voters because old people vote.
Yep, old people do vote.
So
what else are they going to do?
Yeah, you got to wait for some of those. You got to shed that earlier greatest generation a little bit.
That's fair.
Shake a little loose.
But don't you think when he lit the torch, that was kind of their way of saying, you know.
I think it was all of us. Yeah,
accept.
That's what I'm saying. He had to wait 30 years-ish.
Okay.
For everybody because now a lot of people that he grew up with are, you know, within 10 years are now older than he was at that point. They're in their 60s and 70s.
But I think he could have become a senator. That's certainly possible.
Especially
some of the liberal states, it wouldn't have counted against him.
Yeah.
California.
He goes back. He goes back to Louisville.
Oh, right.
And bases out of Kentucky. He will be the Democratic senator from Louisville until the day he dies.
Yep. Yep.
From Kentucky. But I mean, that's where he will live if he wanted to go that route.
Yeah.
Easily. Done.
That's
done.
What I'm saying.
Who's not voting for him?
And that's the thing. And that's what. That's what's so mind-blowing. You're just looking at this stuff of him, and you watch him. You watch what Will Smith does in this movie, bringing him to life. It's pretty incredible.
It is.
My issue with the movie lies in how they kind of completely overshadow everybody else. Joe Frazier was a really integral part of Ali's life, and they turn him into some character actor who does like four or five scenes. But there was more to explore there. The George Foreman stuff is also kind of like pushed to the side. But there's so much to explore in these narratives that would have said a lot about him as well. I get it that we're exploring that he cheats on his wife. Oh, we're finally seeing that. Great. But I want to see the real in-depth, complex nature of him calling another black man a gorilla. I want to see this complex nature of within the black community, what that felt like. That's why Joe was pissed. That's why Joe was hurt to have him, who he had helped out. When Ali was broke after Vietnam, when he was protesting Vietnam and nobody wanted to hire him for anything, Joe Frazier gave him money to stay afloat. Why isn't that presented in the film? All of that is what I wanted to see, the him turning the back on people who tried to help him. So you have a more fleshed out picture of this man.
Yeah.
And that's what bothered me about the film overall. Will Smith's performance is incredible.
See, I just don't think there's enough time in a movie to accurately portray Ali. There's
sure.
not. Well, I'm
sure.
just saying because...
No, I think you're right.
You could do 2 hours on him and Frazier or him and Foreman. You could do an entire movie on Rumble in the Jungle.
Yes, you
Thrill
could.
Thrill Manila.
Which they did, obviously, as a doc, but like...
Yeah, but as a straight, you know, Will Smith piece and whatnot... Yeah. And it's all it's everything the documentary is, the buildup and this and having to, you know, just this dictatorial state making this fight happen through sheer force of, you know, threat of harm in essence.
Right.
It's crazy. The whole thing is crazy, but that's a movie in and of itself.
It's crazy.
Like his rise to a championship.
Yep.
Boom. There's a movie.
Absolutely. Through the Olympics and everything.
Yeah. And the fight, like him basically standing over, what's his name?
Sonny Liston.
Sonny Liston, thank you. With the most iconic shot in the history of sports photography.
Telling him to get up?
Yeah. Boom, there's a move. I mean, you do this over and over.
Yeah.
So you can only really kind of touch on very small things. Mm-hmm. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I think that's asking a lot of the life of a man that's loomed so large in the public consciousness for so many decades that there's just too much ground to cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Elton John. I hope it's good. I think it'll be good because it'll hit the high notes and whatnot.
I hope so too.
But he's been in public for 40 years.
Right. I think they're only doing a snippet, which is the 70s.
That's the smartest thing to do.
Yeah.
Because there's just too much. It's going to be this into this into this into Candle in the Wind into this and to him doing Disney movies into like, what are we going to do?
And him coming out. Like, there's coming, so
exactly.
much. Yeah.
Where do we begin? Where do we end? There's just too much.
Yeah.
So, you know, they tried.
Yeah.
And I applaud him for, you know, trying.
Yeah, well, that's why I put it on my list. I know it's not high on my list, but it is because overall it's an incredible effort by Michael Mann, but it's a fantastic performance by Will. Will's incredible in the movie, man. Yeah. Can't deny it.
It's not complete, but the fact that they tried to do the impossible.
Yeah.
I've always liked that about that movie. Anyway, yours.
Independence Day, number 3 for me.
Wow.
Yeah, I love that movie. It's a lot of fun. I don't revere it the way some people do, which is why I enjoyed Independence Day Resurgence. I think it's a fun throwaway action movie, Independence Day. Fun. A lot of fun. He's fighting aliens.
Sure.
With Harry Connick Jr., for God's sakes. You've got Bill Pullman as the president. You've got Jeffrey Goldblum. You've got Judd Hirsch, for God's sakes. There's so much about the film that's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And Will is a big part of it because his personality, his relationship, trying to get back to, I forget the actress's name who plays the stripper who's his...
Vivica Fox.
Vivica A. Fox, right. Getting back to her. You've got the the president's wife, Mary McDonald, down there. Like, there's so much going on through the movie that I think is enjoyable. And then Randy Quaid and his nutty family and everything that happens there. I just enjoy the movie overall. It's a fun, awesome action movie.
It's lower on my list. I'm sure everybody else will have it higher. It just, the problems that I have with it just destroy the rewatchability. So it's
okay.
I enjoyed it when it came out.
Is it the virus or what is it that you have a problem with?
Yeah, the virus and then the Randy Quaid character.
Yeah.
Just in that, he's been telling you guys for years that he got probed by aliens and you look down on him. And now that the aliens are here and he brings it up, you still look down on him.
Yeah. Okay.
He proved his fucking point.
Yeah.
So now you need to be worried if I get captured, they're going to rape my butt, you know, too. It should be, if I don't die and they capture me, so.
They're going to probe me too.
Yeah. What's slightly worse than death is, then I'm just going to be raped by aliens for who knows how long.
Right.
Perfect. and I... You know, Pullman, to me, has the charisma.
Oh, yeah.
Of a doornail.
Oh, you don't like him. That's right.
I like him in other things.
We've talked about this.
But okay. His speech to me is so dull.
What?
So today...
It's like so iconic.
...is the day of days.
Okay, it's not how it goes.
Independence Day. It's just like, it's a Tuesday.
I feel like you're cold.
In the daytime.
I feel like you're 1,000,000% wrong on this. Everybody loves his speech. People play it on July 4th.
Well, those people have lesser imaginations than I do, apparently. Because why don't we get them a mobile that we give the babies to, and they might stare at that. Because that is a boring speech. I haven't heard it in so long, I couldn't even tell you.
What?
I just know the opening. He does start off with, today. It's like an FDR-ish. You're trying to do these long pauses.
Yeah.
But that was when the technology was new, so not everybody was used to radio yet. And that's why it sounded so weird.
Okay.
Go watch the King's speech. Eventually, we got used to being fluidly talking like we do.
Yeah.
Being recorded. At that time, it's two-finger, the weird...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The distance.
Yeah, the distance thing, and then proper enunciation.
Yeah.
The diction. Stop here on this part and this part. it just doesn't... It does nothing for me.
All right, fair. All right, where are we at to? You number two?
My number two.
Yeah.
Which is a punt from you earlier.
Woof.
Which is Enemy of the State.
Oh, wow. Number two.
That's when it solidified to me that Will Smith... is legit going to be in my life for a long time.
Okay.
I find that to be a very fun, it doesn't get too deep into the, deep state stuff.
Right.
But the Gene Hackman, not knowing at the time, that it's a callback to
the conversation.
Yeah. And it's an updated version of that in modern times, but just the idea that it's even more relevant now than it was when it came out because the amount of surveillance is tenfold what it was at the time.
Yeah.
They can track. They're tracking us right now.
Yeah.
With my phone and your phone, your laptop is open.
They know where I'm at.
If my car has a GPS on it, then they will know where my car is parked, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They know everything about it. That microphone could be turned on recording right now. I have no idea.
Damn it all.
Yeah. NSA, you just have to assume, is listening at all times, and we just accept that.
Yeah, I guess we do. You're right about that.
How can we stop it?
Yeah. Good point, man. Good point.
It's a shitty point.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
But it's great action. Tony Scott, great direction. Jerry Bruckheimer. Back when Bruckheimer's producing these things like nobody's business. Fun action.
You don't expect the world out of it. And this one actually tries to ask more of a Bruckheimer viewer
actually.
Than 95% of the rest of
it's a pretty complex story, this idea of the NSA and this program and who could take advantage of it.
How
we're seeing it still happen now, this idea of infiltrating, using intelligence to infiltrate.
It'll always happen.
And influence elections or influence points of views or
take out certain political targets or heads of state corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. They're tracking and coming after you, and just the mania of him trying to get away.
Yeah.
Turning his phone off, going after Hackman, and Hackman lives in this, scrambled microwave zone that their signals can't get into, man. Mm-hmm. It was good.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoy it. I'm surprised it was so low on your list.
It's very rewatchable as well. It's only six, man. It's not that fucking low on my list.
It's pretty low. It's pretty low. It's my two, it's your six.
It's rewatchable as hell, but it also is all right, fine. There we go. Well, it's number six. That's what I'll say. It's rewatchable. Men in Black is my number two, the original.
All right, that's my number one. Do we have a punt from earlier for you?
No, man, you're missing one.
What am I missing? Apparently you're number one, which is somehow better than Men in Black.
Yeah, it is.
We'll get to in a second.
I guess so.
You can cock that eyebrow back down.
Hey, you judging my list earlier, saying that your opinions are the facts.
Yeah, but I'm looking. What did I miss? Let me go back through his IMDb profile.
Two-word title.
Thank you. That narrows it down to so many movies.
Maybe you just don't like this movie, which is why you didn't put it on your list.
Perhaps. It's not that heist one with Margot Robbie, is it?
No, Focus? No. Although that film's a little better than people give it credit for, but it's not a great film.
Shut up, phone. That's buzzing me. You got an email. I know. It's fine. I get a lot of them. Relax. Spies in Disguise. You've already seen an early screening of it, and you're like, this animation.
No.
It's so stinking good.
Dude, you might get mad at this. Okay. Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Yep. I'm surprised it's not on your fucking list. I'm fucking surprised.
Well, I'm looking at two and be like, okay, I don't know about that.
Okay.
Perhaps I... How far back are we talking?
Early.
Okay, then I missed something.
You did. It's an action film.
Oh, fuck no.
See? There fuck you no. go. See? There you go. No. I knew it. I knew it.
Yeah, okay, I forgot about that movie because I knew... I didn't even write it down on my side list because I knew it was going to make yours and I don't enjoy that thing.
You're insane. Anyway, let's talk about Men in Black.
The clear number one, which it will be on our final list too. That's the best part.
Sadly.
Best part. Yeah, Men in Black... Great premise.
Yeah.
It's a cool, you know, comic book that they turned into a movie, but I didn't know that going into it. It just, oh, here's some weird, they're the CIA for aliens type of thing. Or the FBI for aliens. So it just seemed kind of fun, like almost a 60s idea done now.
Yeah.
Where it's tongue-in-cheek-ish a little bit, and they're, you know, there's zany characters and whatnot, but they're not over the top. They're not trying to steal every scene. They just are.
That's a great point.
Later on, they really... lean it like when Michael Jackson shows up. Like, you're taking me out of the reality that you're creating.
Right, right.
At the very least, he should be an alien as opposed to someone wanting to be an agent.
Right.
And I don't know if he'll ever sign up for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was probably more than worried about people already thinking he was too different.
Yeah, he was a little weird.
He was. A little weird is putting it lightly.
Well, you know. Barry Levinson directs the hell out of this thing. One of the last things he did that was funny. I think it's Barry Levinson, isn't it? No, wait. I'm sorry. No, not Barry Levinson.
No, it's Sonnenfeld.
Yeah, Barry Sonnenfeld. Sorry. Yeah. One of the few things he did that was actually successful as a director.
On this level, yeah.
Yeah. And I enjoy... And D'Onofrio's great as the villain.
He is.
His little...
Walking like this skin suit is restricting you.
It's so weird.
His weird jutting motions. He was creepy as hell.
He was.
Eyes that looks like they have cataracts, but they're dead.
Yeah.
So just slowly decomposing.
It's super intense, man. I enjoyed it. And the journey within the movie is great, too, because you've got, you know, Will Smith wanting to prove himself in this organization, trying to figure out where he belongs in it. And then, you know, Tommy Lee kind of keeping him back all the time. And him wanting to do more Rip Torn is hilarious in the movie. Like, everything just works for this movie. And it still holds up. It's still infinitely funny when you go back and watch it. And the idea of worlds within worlds is kind of mind-blowing at the end of the movie as well. Yeah. And him wanting to retire.
Him wanting to retire.
As a post office guy, yeah.
I even like the introduction of Will Smith to the idea that aliens, to do the double blinks, like he has an extra eyelid.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like a reptile. But apparently that's his gills, so he can breathe oxygen or something from the atmosphere. But I was like, oh, if I was him too, I'd be like, what the fuck did I just see? And he's chasing him down and seeing him go crazy and whatnot. I thought, because that could have been like, either he can match him tit for tat, which doesn't make any sense, or I like the balance between he can't process what's happening, but he still has to keep trying.
Yeah.
And he doesn't turn into a superhero. He's just really good at it, but he's not like he's, you know... fucking one of the Iron Fleet against the entities on Game of Thrones, you know?
Spoilers.
It's 2 weeks old. Everybody knows what happened there. I'm not going to specifically say, but...
That's a fair point.
If you know that much, then you know what happened, and I didn't spoil anything. and it further solidified Will Smith as a massive star. Yeah. This guy is, you know... just crushes it at the box office. But I'm pretty sure Men in Black fully sealed. Like, that was the nail in the coffin of Will Smith is going to be in our lives for a long time.
Absolutely. You can't deny that at all. He's so personable in this movie. And it has every right not to work, and yet it does. Because like you said, Matt, it's got that old school 50s vibe. It's got that sci-fi pulp vibe to it, which really works. And Sonnenfeld really brings it to life. Without losing the stakes, because there are moments where it looks like a really serious movie in certain moments. And you're just like, oh, well, this is why you cast a guy like D'Onofrio, even though he's acting weird and doing whatever. The threat and the menace of him really never goes away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it keeps the film perfectly balanced with all the jokes and what have you. All right, so then my number one.
Yeah, let's get to your number one.
Well, before we do, here's a message from a sponsor here on the Top 10 Show, which we're doing now. All right, well, we're back. My number one.
Well, let's see if... your number one. Let's get to your number one.
My number one is Bad Boys, which I don't understand how it doesn't even make your top 10. This is the one that announced Will Smith to the fucking world.
Well,
If Men in Black solidified him, this introduced him that he could be something other than the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Ladies fell in love with Will Smith off this movie. He made an entire career off being, all of a sudden he was this big dude with muscles and a man, where he was a skinny, whiny kid on rapping. And then in Fresh Prince, this is a man come to handle some business. My rally. He's handling some business. And him and his chemistry with Martin Lawrence was a complete surprise to make it work the way that
they do have good chemistry.
Both TV stars jumping into a feature film situation, you know, Martin Lawrence with Martin. This was so well done and so fun. And Michael Bay directed the fuck out of this. He's a young director as well, trying to make his bones. Mm-hmm. Joey Pants is fantastic in this movie. Tech Kikario as the villain is great.
And Taya Leone.
Taya Leone is fantastic. Yeah, she's almost unrecognizable in this movie. Teresa Randall is funny as Martin's wife. All of it works so, so well and is a lot of fun. And it is a film I rewatch all the fucking time. That's what I have to say about that.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't have a need to ever see it ever again.
Wow.
I saw it in the theater when it came out and I enjoyed it.
Yep.
And then it was like on TBS. 4 years later on TBS for the next 5 years.
And right.
I've seen it off and on that or TNT or somewhere else. And it's just like, all to me it looks like is they were oiled down before every shot.
Oh my God.
And there's like a thick, yellowy kind of patina or something. Some, like a very specific color choice. And it just looks way too slick and everything about it just like, no. Will Smith's wearing these ridiculously tight, short sleeved.
Yeah. He's a young man.
Like, but the short sleeve ends at an unnatural place, so it looks like very 1992 when this came out. Like that shirt was in for 2 months type of thing. And it's like, what is, okay? It's over and over and over. It's just way too 90s. Way too 90s.
All right, fair. If you feel that way, I can't argue. It's your opinion. I love it. And
I just love that you glossed over. We had potentially our first ad on the show.
Yeah, well.
We gave the fans no heads up.
No.
We got potentially ads coming. We've been working on this for a while.
Yeah, we've switched over to Anchor to kind of carry us. They're still all being done through iTunes. But we have now more access to like Stitcher and Pocket Casts and Google Podcasts and Radio Public and Pocket Casts and all these other things that we can carry, that the show can be carried on platforms-wise. And so we just thought we'd make it. So occasionally you will hear ads. Well, probably hopefully consistently you will hear ads on the show because that's how we're trying to
expand. And we may or may not have one for this one this early.
We don't know.
We're not sure yet, but we built it in for that spot.
Just in case. And if we don't, well, I hope you enjoyed the 10 seconds.
Yeah, whatever it was, the little intermission music. Are you going to get, we should get little, whatever, for this first week, it was like too quick on the draw or something or whatnot. The little like, just kind of interstitial, just a small little 10-second clip of elevator holding music type of. We have to talk to our guys.
I thought we were going to put in the tune in to the topic show, the heavy metal topic show.
We don't have that yet.
Hopefully we will by the time they hear that.
But why would we do the topic show theme song
if we don't have if we don't have an advertiser? We might as well advertise our other shows for patrons.
That's true.
It's not a bad idea.
It's true. I'm just now that you got to it, I see what you're saying.
You pick it up what I'm putting down.
Exactly. I smell what you're stepping in. I know what you're saying. I was lost at first.
But now
and now
found.
I'm found.
Yeah, you're found.
So, yes, I think so. But we need that. We need the hair metal.
Yeah.
You know, everything that came up. So this is what we're looking for. We had a show for Patreon folks. And once, like, just a straight heavy metal. But then the lyrics are the mundane description of what the topic show is.
Yeah.
So, you sent in an email. Just like a full on, give us hair metal. Go crazy.
I would love it if people would create music for the Top 10 show with lyrics in it for us.
Yeah, maybe for segments or something.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Sure.
Come on.
We need one for the hair metal. I can write you the script if you can actually do it.
Yeah. We'll give you
it'll
all
be
kinds
like
of
four lines,
too.
Five lines, and then just like, perfect. It's the topic show. Just kind of ridiculous over the top. But if you got other things, you know, we're doing recap and reviews again.
Yeah.
You got a recap and review idea, send it to us.
Yeah.
We're open to all ideas.
It could be like Gary Sandler. This is the topic show. This is the only title that we could come up with for the topic show.
Exactly. So please enjoy the topic show. It's more of like a Metallica, James Hetfield version. Sure. We got options.
There's a lot to play with.
You do more Megadethy, Dave Mustaine. I don't really care.
Now you just dropping your knowledge.
All right. Well, that's our lists separately. Now we're going to combine these lists. Right. No, I'm just joking. Right after this. No, I'm just joking.
Right after this. And stay tuned for a message from our sponsor. Oh, and that sponsor was brought to you by this sponsor.
Pantyhose.
The show ends with 45 minutes straight of just commercials.
Just commercials.
Make sure you stay tuned for this next ad. Oh, man, that ad was sponsored by this sponsor.
Wheels within wheels, man. All right. Who are you banging or am I banging? I think I'm banging. Right?
Yeah, I think you're banging.
Okay, okay. You're right. Go ahead. So I guess Men in Black is one.
Men in Black is one.
Which is some bullshit.
All right. Let's see. I have Enemy of the State 2, yeah, that it's 6.
6, yeah. I have Bad Boys at 1, though.
Yeah, but we have commonality before we can get to anything that's not on the others.
Independence Day, that's a number 3 for me.
That's 8. I think 2-6 beats 3-8.
I Am Legend?
4-6.
4-6?
Yeah, okay. But 2-6 beats 4-6.
All right, fine. Look at that. You got your first two.
Now, this is the part where you'd be like, get it. It's just the way the cookie crumbled this time. That's all there is to it.
Uh-huh.
All right. Look, by putting yours number 1, it's making the list at a decent spot.
Goddamn right it is. It better be soon.
Right. I would say I Am Legend that is next.
Yep, I agree with that. But Independence Day, Independence Day is interesting because it's 3, and what do you have it at?
Independence, I've got it at 8.
So 3, 8. The next one we would have is Concussion, both at number 5.
I would say Concussion at 4 then.
Wow.
Don't you think? 5-5 over 3-8?
Sure. Okay. But at some point, the Bad Boy has got to get on.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I'm literally not trying to railroad. Oh. No pun intended with the railroad going behind us.
All right.
So, your choice out.
So Concussion, then what? Bad Boys, or are you putting Independence Day now?
Well, legit question. Just 3-8 beat 1. 1-0.
I feel like 1-0...
Can you be honest right now?
No, because you're gonna push my number 1 into the bottom half of the list. That makes no sense. The number 1 for me should be in the top 5 of our list.
Okay.
There it is.
Okay.
There it is.
Because I wouldn't want that to happen to me.
Yeah. So, right. Because it's your number 1.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. See that? That's how.
Oh my God.
A righteous dictator leads. You are more one half of Game of Thrones, and I am more the other half of Game of Thrones.
I'm going to set fire to this whole goddamn city.
Exactly.
All right.
So then we would say Independence Day next.
Right.
Do you have Ali?
I have Ali at 10. I have Enemy of the State at 6. We've already
done that.
Okay.
Men in Black 3, where do you have that?
8.
3, 10, 4. So I'd say Men in Black 3.
Okay.
Then Ali.
Okay.
We both have iRobot.
Okay. Yes, we do. I have it at number 9.
Yeah, I've got it at 9 too, so it makes 9. So we got 1 left. I've got my number 7.
So is everything Bad Boys in there, Men in Black, Independence Day, I Am Legend,
gotcha.
Concussion, Enemy of the State, Hitch. Men in Black 3 is on
Hitch,
there?
Hitch is not in. Hitch?
Oh, sorry. Men in Black is my number 7.
Okay, so I got Pursuit of Happiness in my number 7.
Okay, how many do we have left?
1.
Oh, goddamn.
So it's the 1-on-1.
Do you feel like because you got more of your movies at certain higher rankings that I should get that one there, or do you want to flip the coin?
Yeah, but you also have a movie that's not on my list is already on this list.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you get 2 movies that aren't on my list get in the overall list.
Mm-hmm.
That to me seems... Oh, so now you're not willing to return the favor. I make sure Bad Boys gets
what
in the top 5.
You just said give is not the right word. It's the way the cookie crumbles.
Sure. The cookie crumbled this way, and now you're assuming the cookie crumbles continuously that way.
No.
Saying
I was giving you the option. Do you want to flip the coin?
That's the option? Want to flip the coin?
That's the option.
This
corrupt coin...
Would you like to flip, or would you like myself to flip?
Is it the corrupt coin?
I don't have another. I have 2 corrupt coins.
All right.
Which one would you like, the bigger one or the smaller one?
Hasso. It's all like corrupt shit, man.
Yep, the whole world's out to get you. That's why you like... That's why you like cars so much. The little man.
Oh, yeah.
Triumphing against. Here you go.
All right.
Go ahead. Let's see this bad boy. 2 weeks in a row we're doing this.
What do we got?
Boom. Pursuit of happiness, son baby. Of a bitch.
This is the worst coin in the history of mankind.
It hit the thing, though. I will call that a disqualification because it hit the wire. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
It didn't. It landed and then rolled because it hit a wire that's on the ground. That, to me, is a DQ. Right. Go more.
Still, this is a corrupt coin.
All right, you want to go best 3 out of 5? There's a Superman. All right, all right. All right, there you go. There's one.
All right. Batman.
We'll call that 1-to-1. We'll call that 1-to-1. That's you with a Superman. Oh, that didn't rotate at all. You should probably do that.
Okay. This is thrilling, Rick.
This is thrilling. And we keep walking away from our mics. What do you got? What do you got? What is it?
Superman.
All right.
What do we got?
We got technically 2 left. You get a Superman right here. You take it. What do we got? What do we got?
There's,
see?
Oh.
It's not a screwed up coin.
All right.
You just, statistically, Superman hadn't been coming up.
Here's what I'll say right now. Just for letting me do that, just for us correct, I think it's fine to put Pursuit of Happiness there.
Because we're fighting this hard over number 10.
Yeah, I know.
At the end of the day.
That's fair. People do love that movie, though. So I can't feel too badly about it. All right. Let's do this thing. The top 10 Will Smith movies, yeah. At number 10.
The Pursuit of Happiness.
At number 9.
I, Robot.
At number 8.
Ali.
At number 7.
Men in Black 3.
At number 6.
Independence Day.
At number 5.
Bad Boys.
At number 4.
Concussion.
At number 3.
I Am Legend.
At number 2.
Enemy of the State.
At number 1, our Will Smith movie is
Men in Black.
Here come the Men in Black. I want you to remember. I like the Wild Wild West song. What's your favorite of all the Will Smith tied to a movie songs?
Yeah, Wild Wild West. I don't know. That to me is a little too much. Okay. As much as I think the movies can't be fun.
Men in Black is too much.
What's that?
The Men in Black one is too much.
It's pretty bad, too.
To rhyme Neuralizer, that's pretty rough, man.
Very true.
Yeah. It's MC Hammer level type stuff.
I wouldn't go that far.
Anyway, well, thanks, everybody. Thanks to, what's his name? Nathan or Andrew?
Andrew Nally
for suggesting the topic. And
thank
Matt,
you, sir.
Do you have his list?
Yes, I do. Let me just pull that up one second.
Okay. While Matt pulls that up, we'll be right back. I'm just joking. I got to stop doing that.
I went to the other email for shout-outs.
Oh.
So now I will back up. Here we go. Andrew's list is at number 10, Independence Day.
Poo.
At 9, Hancock. 8, Concussion. 7, seems a little high, Bad Boys. 6, I, Robot.
7? Fuck that.
5, 7's even high.
That's
5 is 7 pounds, so he's like my wife.
Wow.
The schmaltzy, I just couldn't do it. 4 is I Am Legend.
Mm-hmm.
3 is Enemy of the State. 2 is Men in Black, and number 1 is The Pursuit of Happiness.
Wow.
That's his number 1.
Now I feel even better that we put it number 10 on our list. We're connected with that guy, Andrew. Thank you, Andrew, for donating and supporting the show. Sorry about that. And thank you for selecting this topic. And I hope you enjoyed us counting down the list for you and giving you some love. If you want to be considered for this, you can go to our Patreon at www.patreon.com/thetop10number10 there and see the multiple tiers we have to support the show. Of course, the Boss Hog level is 50 and above. So we can't give you enough love, Anthony, for what you did in donating to the show for so long, waiting for us to select your topic. So thank you so much. And thanks to all the Boss Hog members and all the patrons who donate and support the show.
Yeah, and we're going to do a shout-out to all those individuals, and that's at the $5 and up. And if you'd like to be a part of that, like John said, go to patreon.com/thetop10 with the number 10, and you can join in on this fun and everything else we're putting up. We've got various shows. We just told you we need theme songs for shows. And if anybody likes to make theme songs, we got more ideas for theme songs.
Oh, we do,
or different shows that we're pitching about. But hey, it'd be great if it had a little 20, 30-second theme song at the front of it. Why not? So this is our thank you once a month. We give you a shout out on the show if you donate, and we might as well start this list going. You ready?
I got to pull it up. So will you vamp for a second? I don't see the list anywhere. So
it was sent to your personal.
Like my Collider personal or my own personal?
I don't know, but okay. We got it from Chris and it was sent to both our personal. So whatever that email chain is, my guess is wherever he sends you other emails,
yeah,
that would be where it's at.
Okay. Well, if you don't mind vamping for just a second.
Not a problem. Should be a couple keystrokes and John will be right back with us, folks.
Right after this.
Another here it is. Message all right, got it. From our sponsor.
May 6th. He sent it May 6th, right?
I just have the name of it, May 2019 shout out list.
Okay. Let me pull it up. It's on my Excel spreadsheet.
Yes, sir.
And boom.
Ready?
All right, we are ready to go.
Started off with our head of security, Mr. Matthew Hasso.
How does he keep getting into these situations? All right, Andrew Hayes.
Mr. Speak the Devil himself, hey, Andrew Nally.
Nice. Clay Williams.
David Mitchell Baker.
Drew Enns.
Josh Mabry.
Mackenzie Horner.
Mike Barrington.
Robert Haley.
Babo Wiley Todd.
Oh, the man who's in trouble. Christos Alexakos.
Eric Rebner.
Andrew Marker.
Andy Tan.
Angela Dashner.
Anthony Casanova.
Ashley Prowls.
Ben Cartwright.
Bernie Knapp.
Bobby Carney.
Chris Lemke.
Drake Fromsdorf.
Ellis Menchaca.
Oh, the worst taste in music, Menchaca. Eric Escott.
Frank Montoya.
George Menchaca.
I like George. James Leggett.
Jason Bradshaw.
Our man, Jeremy Metz.
John Douse.
Jonathan Peck.
Joseph Birtwistle.
Keith Fitzgerald.
Kevin Fuss.
Kevin Hills.
Kristen Kurtz.
Lawrence Witt.
Mark Fawcett.
Mark Menchaca.
Matt Hall.
Mitchell Brill.
Niall Blackie.
Reese Arish Seaborn.
Ryan Nim.
Sean Brennan.
Sean Nunn.
Steve Schluckabier.
Sujayanth Fernando.
The Blast from Our Past podcast.
Timothy Berg.
TJ Starman.
Tyler Spots.
Zach Butts.
Adelardo Fuente.
Alec Donnelly.
Alex Ramsey.
Leah Moore.
Ahmed Ali.
Andreas Kronstad.
Andres Mendoza.
Anthony George.
April Rybacki.
Aza Denning.
Ben Quirk.
Ben Archambault.
Blake Jensen.
Brandon Marcellus Summers. That's a good name.
Brian Akins.
Chris Cabrera.
Chris Consiglio.
Chris Jones.
Chris Judd.
Christopher McIntyre.
Cody Seal.
Cody Markham.
Dan Culbertson.
Dan Petraglia.
Dan Somerville.
Danielle Kelly.
Darren Bush.
Deborah Torres.
Dwayne Joseph Burke.
Dylan Dylan Buller Dempsey. Sorry about that.
Dylan Johnson.
Dylan Yoon.
Ed Buzzkirk.
Edward Dobbins.
Elijah York.
Eric Bloor.
Eric Bouchard.
I don't know how to say this. Eric. All right, Eric.
Yeah, it's a string of characters on your email address. We can't help you with that, Eric.
Other Virginia guy. That's what I'll say. All right.
Gareth Weldon.
Ian Brick Beltran Lopez.
James Appleby.
Janvia Canizar.
Jason Liao.
Jeff Knutson.
Jeff Saliba.
JIC317.
Jim W.
Joe Ibarra.
Joe McPhee.
Joey Anthony.
John Keefe.
Jonathan Chase.
Joseph Viola.
Josh Sachs.
Joshua Damash.
Johanna Linavirta.
Keith Archer.
Kevin Shaw.
Kristen Smith.
Yo, Christia Veselchik.
Louis Berrigan.
Lindsay Toll.
Marcel Behrman.
Matt Hannigan.
Matt Yund.
Maurice Robinson.
MF Doom.
Michael McDade.
Michael Schmer.
Nathan Leonard.
Nicholas Smith.
Nizar Al-Abbasi.
Noel Kelleher.
Pat Bulfamante. I'm sorry I'm having trouble with these names, man.
Bulfamante.
Pat Bulfamante.
Peter Bellin.
Peter Ross.
Phil Morissette.
Phil Neglia.
Philip Renshaw.
Rachel Silvestrini.
Ravi Prasad.
Reagan Lovig.
Rob Harris.
Roque Orellana.
Ruben Enriquez.
Ryan M. Brandos.
Sam Bateman.
Shane Noble.
Simon Brouillard.
Spencer Freightway.
Tim Begg.
Tim Franco.
Wayne Murphy.
AJ Barrera.
Aaron Carroll.
Abby Lugo.
Alan Bennett.
Alec Musul.
Alexander Marzonia.
Hey, Alex. Andrea Constantinisco.
Andrew Erbs.
Andrew O'Day.
Andy Ortiz.
Marlon Tuttle.
Charlie McKenna.
Chelsea Lewis.
Dale Varley.
Dan Nye.
David Gregson.
DJ Red Hot Cox.
Hey, good old Red Hot Cox. Get your Red Hot Cox here. Evan Zoller.
Giancarlo Simonetta.
Grecia Romero.
Houston Bodily.
Ian Horner.
Jacob Pullen.
James Winstead.
Jason Taylor.
Jeff Peters.
Jen Kemp.
Jim Payne.
Joe Yuen Jo Huen.
Joe Fairley.
Johannes Schmidt.
John Holloway,
Jordan Wiltshire,
Josh Lawrence,
Josh Murphy,
Joshua William,
Joshua Wynn,
Juan Reyes,
Julian Key,
Catherine Samuels,
Ken Reels,
Kim Lahief,
Christian Lundgaard, Kjoller,
Kyle Spahn,
Laura Deverson,
Luke Larson,
Magali Dore,
Mark Amorosi,
Matt Chipping,
Matthew Lee Gravens,
Mike Shea,
Nathan Williams,
Nick Dornoff,
Patrick Campbell,
what's up, PJ, Patrick Zamora,
Philip Lane,
Ricky Rivers,
Rob McDonald,
Rodrigo Valverde III,
Ryan McKenna,
Seamus Breitag,
Sean Scott,
Seth Shearer,
Simon Skjot Thompson,
The Cinephiles, thanks Steve.
Tom, did Steve pay to get his name shout out plus the show?
Well,
is
I just
$10 a month.
Well, I just
just asking. Thomas Price,
Thomas Streeton,
Thorsten Amuler,
Timothy R. Williams,
Will Morse.
Oh, Will Morse, thank you. There you go. There's a shout out for everybody. Thank you so much for donating to the Patreon.
Yeah, we honestly, we can't thank you enough. We're trying to supply you with more content. We got the topic show. We did a Game of Thrones discussion where we were. And I'm sure by the time you're hearing this, we may have done another one. Yeah, because this comes
possibly.
Out. We may have possibly done another one. Not entirely sure. But hopefully. Actually, that you know, maybe.
I think so.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
You all know? Right.
We're in for having a lot of fun over at patreon.com/the top 10. And we'd like to thank all of you that support us over there. We're trying to provide you with more content. And it's thanks to the help from individuals like Joe Ibarra, Clay Williams, Christos Alexakos, Matthew Hasso, and Kristen Smith, because they help us with a bunch of small things, but it enables us to free up a little more time to try and give you guys more content. So our eternal thanks to them and to all of you that have supported us and want to come out to the live shows. And if you want to join the Facebook group. There are groups for the Houston now and Toronto shows in New York City, or you can email us at thetop10live@gmail.com with the number 10, and just let us know there. Put in the subject line the city of those three and how many would come in the body. But hopefully we got some information coming up for you fairly soon on those. And I think that is all for me, sir, this week.
Yeah, that's great. You can follow, did you ever say where to follow you?
No, at Matt Nost, M-A-T-T-K-N-O-S-T.
You can follow me at The Roka Says as well. And I know we've kind of been shirking our duties on our merchandise and stuff like that, but we are getting around to getting that all squared away.
Slowly but surely.
Exactly. It's on our periphery. We're going to make it happen. Thanks to everybody who's joined the show for the first time. Maybe someone's told you about our show and you're jumping on. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Subscribe and do all the positive things. Spread the word. Remember to retweet this. Remember to share it. Remember to like it. Remember to give it all the love possible, please. We need it all. I think that's it. Look for more content from us. Take care of yourselves. And we will talk to you next time on The Top 10.